Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Welcome to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio as the Blackhawks knock off the Minnesota Wild 2-1, ending Minnesota's 19-game point streak against Chicago. The Wild had been 18-0-1 in those previous 19 games against the Blackhawks, but that is no more. The Blackhawks take care of business in Minnesota. Let's go right back out to Grand Casino Arena and bring in Steve Conroyd to help us break down this game. Steve, a much better result for Chicago in this game than the last time the Hawks were in Minnesota when they squandered a multi-goal lead there.
Yeah, you figure they probably learned from that. They've been learning all year, and I think, you know, the lesson is, defense leads to offense, and let's play sound in our own zone. Let's not give the puck away. And, you got to rely on goaltending. I thought Spencer Knight was outstanding tonight. But, you know, just look at the game-winning goal. It was really good defense by Connor Bedard, very patient in their own zone. He picks off an errant pass by Marcus Johansson, streaks 150 feet down the ice, and scores a beautiful breakaway goal, and that was the game-winner. So, this team is learning, and I love the way they played against the Minnesota Wild, one of the top 5-6 teams in the NHL. They could have won each and every game, honestly, when you look at it. I know they lost three in overtime or shootout. They win the one here in regulation. And, I mentioned at the end of the broadcast, 11-6-5 now against the Central Division, the best division in hockey. And that's pretty impressive.
What do you attribute that to? I feel like the Hawks do a really good job over the last couple of years of playing up to their competition. And maybe there's a little of reverse psychology too, where the opposition plays a little bit down to the opposition as well. But feels like the Blackhawks play those upper echelon teams pretty well. And we saw again tonight, even the previous three games against Minnesota, all three of those games went into overtime or a shootout. So the Hawks were getting points against a really good Minnesota team.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head with your first comment. I think fear is a pretty good motivator, whether it's in life, whether it's in sports. Whether it's really in anything, you're ready and you're a little worried. And I think that's a good thing. You know, it's always good to be nervous before a game. It's always good to have a little bit of an edge. And I think they had that. And maybe Minnesota takes their foot off the gas a little bit, but they shouldn't, because this Blackhawks team has played them as well as anyone all this year. So, I like the fact that the Blackhawks bring it against the best. You know, we saw them bring it against Colorado, who they'll see tomorrow night, and lose a very close game. I don't even have the numbers here, but I want to say that they lost it possibly in a shootout. But I'll check that a little later on. It's one of those things where they're a young team, they're learning, but this win will really help them an awful lot in their progression.
There were 36 combined penalty minutes in this game, not a single fighting major. So I can't remember the last time I saw that in a Blackhawks game where there were a lot of penalty minutes racked up, but there were zero fighting majors in this game. Feels like there has been some physicality over the last several games for the Blackhawks, and Connor Bedard kind of being in the thick of it seemingly in every single one of them. Do you like that? Where does that kind of galvanize a group, especially when you go up against a Minnesota Wild team that, you know, they are where they are in the standings, and you're as the Blackhawks where they are, they're kind of fighting back too, whether it's against Utah, whether it's Vegas, whether it's Minnesota. Like they're not going to be pushed around. It feels like they're communicating that to other teams.
Yeah, Charlie, I think this game more than any other over the last, let's call it, a dozen games since we saw the trades. We lost Connor Murphy and Jason Dickinson and Nick Foligno. I think this game more than any other, I really saw the guys really sticking up for themselves. And I'll go back to the second period, a big hit by Ryan Hartman on Connor Bedard. And who's there right away is Wyatt Kaiser. Certainly not one of the bigger guys on the team, but, you know, he had the back of his assistant captain, of the leader of this team. And, you know, I even saw it from Ethan Del Mastro, a guy who hasn't been here all year long, but, you know, wasn't afraid to get involved. Sam Rinzell, who's, you know, he's big. He's 6'4", but he's only 194 pounds, and he stuck his nose in there a couple of separate times. So that does not go unnoticed on the bench. And it's a brotherhood out there, and they realize that, hey, guys have our back. You know, Mangiapane, I think, Andrew Mangiapane has changed the complexion of this team too. So it's all great to see. You know, Ryan Donato was in there again too. Again, not a big guy, but certainly willing to stick up for his teammates. And that, as I said, it goes a long way. It just, it kind of breeds a togetherness, whether it's on the bench or on the ice, and it makes you a stronger team.
And it's great to see Connor Bedard get in there too. Not that you want him to do that on a regular basis, but it kind of shows and communicates to other players and teams that while he does have all this skill in the world, his competitive fire does spill out in these games when it does get chippy. And even though he is probably one of the smaller guys on the ice as far as height wise, like he's going to go at it with others, and it doesn't matter how big they are. Like I imagine that also resonates inside the Blackhawks locker room when their best player is kind of involving himself in those physical scrums. It's almost like he's dragging them into the fight as well.
Well, you're right. I mean, he competes like no other. He hates to lose. It's all about the final score. And when he's competing, he's being emotional. He's being intense. And when you're intense, you know, sometimes you cross the line. And listen, he's not an angel out there, but he's trying to win. And he's trying to win for his team. And I think that's what his teammates appreciate. And they also appreciate the fact that, you know, he's one of the best players in the NHL. There's no way the Blackhawks have the type of record they have this year. As John mentioned, 26 wins is more than they had all of last year. Maybe it's 27 wins now. Maybe got 26 wins. So, yeah, it's more than all the wins they had last year. They're getting better. But he's been a huge part of it, and he's their bread and butter. So, I like that. And you're right. He does drag guys in. And because, you know, you have to get involved physically when Connor Bedard, you know, is driving the net, is, you know, trying to make guys look bad one-on-one, you've got to be right in there with them. So, it's been fun. It's going to be fun to the end of the year, too. This really hurt the Minnesota Wild when you think about it. If they wanted to try and finish ahead of the Dallas Stars, which they still could do, it's going to be a little tougher, though, with a regulation loss.
Last one for you, Steve. I'm looking at some of the numbers here. The Blackhawks held the Minnesota Wild to just 7 scoring chances at 5-on-5. And I'm looking at the Minnesota Wild. This is according to Natural Stat Trick. I'm looking at the Wild as a whole. The fewest scoring chances in a game Minnesota prior to tonight at 5-on-5 was 12. So the Hawks held them to 7, which was 5 fewer. So a really solid defensive performance as well. Now, we should note Kirill Kaprizov was a late scratch in this game because of an injury that he suffered on Tuesday in Chicago. So that's a huge part of their offense. But there are some high-powered players on the Minnesota Wild with Matt Boldy and Quinn Hughes that they can morph or make up for the loss of Kaprizov in other ways. And so I thought it was impressive defensively, the Hawks holding them to just 7 scoring chances at 5-on-5.
Well, that's huge. And the fact they held them to lower than 30 shots, I think Minnesota ended up with 29 shots. So, you know, last game, Minnesota had 37 shots. And the game before that, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights ended up with 32 shots. That's, you know, it's literally 70 shots over 2 games. You want to keep it to 10 shots a period. And the Blackhawks did that. They did a little better, actually. Instead of 30 shots, it was 29. So, I think all those things are important. And the fact that not only 29 shots, but just 7 scoring chances against, that's huge. And, you know, kudos to this Blackhawks defense corps because they're pretty young. Even with Matt Grzelcyk in the lineup, they're still, you know, all the other guys are 20, 21, 23, 24 years of age. They're the youngest team in the NHL. They're definitely the youngest blue line in the NHL, and they're getting the job done.
Well, you got the job done for us tonight, Steve. Great job, as always, on the call. Let's do it again in, what, 20, 21 hours?
Yeah, let's do that. We always have fun, and bring a hunger because I know you love that food at the United Center.
I love it. I'll be stashing the cookies tomorrow. Great stuff, Steve. Safe travels back home.
All right, thanks, Charlie.
All right, the Blackhawks pick up a 2-1 win over the Minnesota Wild, ending Minnesota's 19-game point streak against the Blackhawks. We have more to get to here when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show continues on after this on 720 WGN.
Marcus Johansson, he'll carry down to the right wing corner, then in behind the Hawk net, around to the left circle with some room, through the high slot, tried to give the puck over, picked off by Bedard, he's got a breakaway, through center, over the wild line, and down the slot, backhand, he scores! season. Stripped the puck away from Johansson at the Hawk line. Went the rest of the way and buried a backhander. It's 2-0 in favor of the Hawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. That goal by Connor Bedard will stand as the game winner. That was his 28th goal of the season. He is now tied with Tyler Bertuzzi for the team lead. Now, I will say, Connor Bedard does have 10 fewer games played because he missed a chunk of time with that shoulder injury. But, boy, I thought Connor Bedard was yet again one of the better players on the ice for the Blackhawks. I counted three breakaways for the Blackhawks in that game. Connor Bedard, the one that he just scored on there. Ryan Green had one right out of the penalty box in the third period. And then Tyler Bertuzzi had one shortly after that where he hit the crossbar on the back end. And so Hawks, man, they generated some scoring chances. How about that 5-on-3 penalty kill that the Blackhawks had in the third period? It was a full minute and 35 seconds. And the Minnesota Wild had a full minute of possession time. 30 seconds, there's a stoppage. Minnesota calls a timeout. Blackhawks end up killing off the rest of the penalty, of the 5-on-3 penalty. And then the remaining 25 seconds of the 5-on-4. That felt like the game right there. Like if Minnesota scores to even things up at 2-2, Hawks maybe start to play a little bit on their heels. Minnesota, the building livens up, but the Blackhawks' number one ranked penalty kill came up clutch in that third period. And so kudos to the Blackhawks. And I thought they were good in the special teams as a whole. How about the power play? They had three opportunities in this game. And while they didn't find the back of the net, how about the chances that they created? In the 6 minutes of power play time for the Blackhawks, they generated 16 shot attempts, 9 shots on goal, 8 scoring chances, only one high danger chance. But man, felt like the Blackhawks, this was one of their better games as far as the power play goals that they didn't score on in a long time. And so I thought that was encouraging to see too, because I feel like that confidence filtered in a little bit to the 5-on-5 game for Chicago, even though they only found the back of the net twice in this game. I felt like offensively they were creating chances at 5-on-5. All right, I mentioned the Minnesota Wild having their 19-game point streak snapped against the Chicago Blackhawks in their last 19 games. It was the first time the Blackhawks had beat the Minnesota Wild in regulation since December 15th, 2019. That was pre-COVID. It was a 5-3 victory at the United Center. Patrick Kane had a hat trick in that game. The winning goaltender of that one for Chicago, Robin Lehner, was the winning goaltender. But now we're going to rewind a couple years prior. The last time the Blackhawks picked up a road victory, so winning in Minnesota, November 4th, 2017. It was a 2-0 victory for the Blackhawks. Corey Crawford had a 24 save shutout in that victory for the Blackhawks. But I'm also looking at some of the players on the roster. Think about these names. Lance Buma was on the team for the Blackhawks. John Hayden, Richard Panik, Nick Schmaltz was a member. Tommy Wingles. How about on defense? Cody Franzen, Michael Kempney, Jan Ruda. I mean, Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith were still on the team. It was a long time ago. But the name that stood out to me was Ryan Hartman, who is now a member of the Minnesota Wild. So he was, the last time the Blackhawks won in Minnesota, Ryan Hartman, who's a member of the Wild now, was a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. So it kind of comes full circle, Ryan Hartman being a part of both of those games between Chicago and Minnesota, just wearing a little bit of a different jersey this time. All right, we got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio show. Coming up next, right here on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Mangiapane into the Wild zone, right circle, center of the net, they score! And I'm not sure if this is Mangiapane's goal or if it's going to be to Ilya Mikheyev. He was crowding the crease. I believe Mikheyev poked it in behind Volstead. Yes, it is. Mikheyev's goal, and it's 1-0 Hawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks take down the Minnesota Wild 2-1 to wrap up a four-game season series between these two teams. This is the only game of the four that did not go beyond regulation. The other three did go into either overtime or end in a shootout. Nice to see the Blackhawks win one in regulation. I thought they were really solid all-around performance in this one for the Blackhawks. Time now for tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers & Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Connor Bedard led the way for the Blackhawks with 23 minutes and 54 seconds of ice time for Chicago. And it was very well deserved. He finished yet another game where Connor Bedard had 10 plus shot attempts. He finished with 11 total, 6 on net, 1 that was blocked, and 4 missed shots. And he spent 4 minutes and 18 seconds of the 23:54 on the power play for the Blackhawks. So some well-deserved ice time for Connor Bedard. Artem Lefshinov was Alex Vlasic was the leader among D-men for Chicago at 21:46. Artem Lefshinov was right behind him at 20 minutes and 21 seconds. And then Andrei Burakovsky was the only other player that had north of 20 minutes of ice time at 20 minutes and 3 seconds. I'm looking at some of the lower end numbers. Nick Lardis finished with 8:37. Still don't think that's high enough. Landon Slaggart, 7:14. So the fourth line didn't get much ice time. Ethan Delmastro logged only 6 minutes and 48 seconds of ice time. I don't know if that was by design or if he got hurt. I know the Blackhawks did go into this game with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. I'm looking at his ice time. Yeah, Delmastro just had 2 shifts in the second period, had 3 shifts in the third period. So I think they kind of divvied things up a little bit differently. He was on the ice for a penalty, and then he didn't play for another 11 minutes after that. So I'm not sure what happened there. Matt Grizzlick drew back into the lineup for the Blackhawks after he was a healthy scratch in the last game. I really support the decision by Chicago to go back to 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Although I will say, I don't know how the lineup is going to shake out when Sacha Boisvert's visa goes through. He was unavailable tonight because the immigration papers have not been processed yet. We'll see if he potentially is able to play tomorrow against the Colorado Avalanche, and maybe the Hawks are inclined to go back to 12 forwards and 6 defensemen because maybe they want to make sure that they can shelter Boisvert just a little bit to make sure that he's just being put in situations where he's not getting too overwhelmed out there against a very good Colorado team, the best in the entire NHL. But we'll see how that plays out. But I thought this was a solid game for the Blackhawks. And then last thing, we counted the 3 breakaways: Connor Bedard, Ryan Green, and Tyler Bertuzzi. I also wrote down that there were 5 posts in this game. It might even be 6. Maybe missed one. You know, Tyler Bertuzzi hit the crossbar. I think Connor Bedard hit a post. And then there were 2 posts on the 5-on-3 opportunity in the third period for the Minnesota Wild. Matt Boldy hit a post, and then Vladimir Tarasenko hit a post. So 3, actually, I think 4, I think 4 of the 5 posts all came in the third period. So it was a crazy game. It felt like there was a lot happening. It was physical. There were chances. It was a strong special teams performance by Chicago. And then, of course, the Blackhawks get some solid goaltending by Spencer Knight, who, by the way, I do want to defend on that one goal. The only goal that was allowed by Spencer Knight was Nico Sturm. Originally, I watched that goal and I thought it was a little bit of a softie for Spencer Knight. But then you look at the replay, and right when Sturm was getting ready to release the puck, Ryan Green, his stick either hit the puck or it kind of like simultaneously as the puck was releasing from Sturm's stick, Ryan Green ends up hitting it. And so I think Spencer Knight was expecting the puck to go one way or to be kind of like a little flying saucer, and it ended up being a fluttering puck. And that's why you saw him just be standing. He was just standing still. Like, he didn't go down in his butterfly. And so, I think Spencer, if that was a clean shot, Spencer probably sees it and tracks it well, but I think it just fooled him after Ryan Green got the stick on it. So, all is well though. I thought Spencer Knight was really good in this game, stopped 28 of 29 shots that the Minnesota Wild threw his way. We don't have time to squeeze in any post-game sound because this game kind of went a little bit late. So We'll maybe play some of it tomorrow in the pregame show. But Hawks pick up a big 2-1 victory over the Minnesota Wild. We got one more break, and then we're going to wrap things up here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show as the Hawks' quick one-off road trip in Minnesota results in a 2-1 win over the Wild. Time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. The Rockford IceHogs earlier today announced some medical updates that I wanted to share. The good news is defenseman Cavan Fitzgerald has returned to full on-ice participation, which was encouraging, but goaltender Olivier Rodrigue is day-to-day with a lower body injury. Defenseman Tage Thompson will miss 2 to 3 weeks with a lower body injury, and then forward Gavin Hayes, who's having a really nice second half of the season, is expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks with an MCL injury. So that's a tough blow for Gavin Hayes, who has been playing really well over in the Rockford with the Rockford IceHogs the second half of the season. Hopefully they all have a speedy recovery. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action tomorrow against the Colorado Avalanche. It's a 7:30 start. Pre-game show is at 7 o'clock, but I'm going to have a Blackhawks live show from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So we're going to have an hour and a half straight of Blackhawks hockey. So make sure you join us at 6 o'clock. The Colorado Avalanche, the last time they were at the United Center, it was November 23rd. The Blackhawks lost that game 1-0, but that was the only time all season Colorado was held to fewer than 2 goals. So let's see if the Blackhawks, now that they have the last line change being at home, let's see if they're able to stack up well against the Colorado Avalanche, who are with their new additions, Nazem Kadri, Nick Waugh, Brett Kulak, all their trade deadline acquisitions. So a little bit of a new look team, but let's see if the Blackhawks are up to the task, the second of a back-to-back. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Alan Poppy. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call from Minnesota, I'm Charlie Urmeliotis, signing off after a 2-1 win over the Wild. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow from the UC.